I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and happy to be in person now with the brand-new Gloucester Mayor, Greg Virga. And, Mr. Mayor, thank you for inviting me here today.
Thank you, Rick. And we're honored that we are your first in-person interview in over 2 years.
It's been a while. It has. Well, you know, Mr. Mayor, this is a little different because usually we meet and we get together in your studio and we listen to music and interview people, so this is different. And first of all, congratulations on your becoming mayor. You served as city councilor for many years. You served as school committee, and you know the workings of government. What's a little bit different about sitting in this chair right now, contrasted or compared with what you did before? Because, as I said, you know how it works, but now you're in the so-called corner office.
Yeah, it is a different world, and I've been quoted a few times saying that there's no manual for being being mayor. You know, whether you've been on the school committee, in my case, for 8 years, as city council for 6 years. It's totally different. No matter what you've done, until you've been mayor, mm-hmm. you don't know how to be mayor. And so, you know, we came in. It was very helpful to have that background to understand how the system works. But in my case, it was, I don't want to say seamless, but easier than it would have been for some.
Sure.
Because though I had been gone from city government for 6 years, I knew a lot of the players. You know, the rank and file, many of them are still here. The managers are mostly the same. And then Jill Cahill, who's my CAO, has been a city employee for the last 4.5 years as the community development director. So while I was away for 6 years, she's able to fill in that gap, you know, the voids that may exist in my knowledge of what's going on. So that's been very helpful. My past experience, her being here, and her experience, we hit the ground running.
Well, it's not like you went away.
I didn't leave town. I left government. So, yeah. You know, and I stayed in tune, you know, in touch, following what's been going on. But, you know, as you started to talk about before we started rolling, you know, I was doing other things like the radio show we had and playing in bands and enjoying grandkids. But, you know, I decided to run last spring, just about a year ago, and I'm glad I did.
Before we get into any serious topics here, what's Dad think about all this?
Oh, he's super proud. Yeah, I mean, he told me just the other day, he says, I'm proud of you. But he says, not because you're mayor, but because you married her, pointing to my wife. But, I know
that,
he's...
That's Tony, yep.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he was very emotional on election day. Oh, I've got, that's the picture of us.
I see it, yeah, okay.
This is audio, folks.
But, I'll get a picture of that, that's all right, yeah.
But he was very proud. Yeah. When I came in, he was crying when I got
And full disclosure, I remember when he was my coach and you were on the field as well.
I was the bat boy, yes, that's right.
There you go. All right, now let's get down to business here, Mr. Mayor. You had some things, obviously, that you mentioned in a campaign prior to, you know, becoming mayor, running for mayor, that you wanted to do. And then now that you're here, how is that panning out and what's the vision?
Right. We're getting there. It's a matter of, you know, trying to get our feet wet, getting the office in place. Let me start there. So Pam, who's sitting at the table with us, Pam Toby, this is day four for her, just joined us as our communications and constituent services director. Melissa Gillis out there is our executive assistant. She's been with us full-time for, I'd say, less than a month. She'd been doing Mondays and Fridays since we got into office. So, and then Jill and myself. So we finally have our full staff in place. Mm-hmm. So we are ready to really start going into high gear. But we've been working on things. One of the first things we focused on was the boards and commissions. There were a lot of vacancies. There were a lot of people who were up for reappointment. Some chose not to get reappointed. Some, you know, I decided to go in a different direction. But we're finally to the point where there's just maybe a half a dozen vacancies in city boards and commissions. But these are, you know, important boards, zoning board, planning board. The Affordable Housing Trust was a big one that I wanted to revitalize. The CIAB, the Capital Improvements Advisory Board, is another one, which was down to 4 members. They needed 7. 2 of the 4 left after I got in office. So I had to refill that whole commission. And we now finally have 7 members, which hasn't been that way for years. So that was one of the first strategies we had, was trying to get those things going, because the volunteers are the key to keep things going sort of at the ground level. You know, there's only so much we can do with paid staff and with elected people. So that's been ongoing. Some of the goals we had during the campaign, tackling the public-private road controversy. We've been doing a little legwork on that, trying to see what we can do, and we want to put together a working group to study this. And I don't mean analysis paralysis. This is something we really want to have some results from. And so we're getting ready to find some people, people who work for the city, elected officials, and people around the city who have an interest, so we can look at what we, the city, are able to do now through Mass General Law, what we're able to do now through city ordinances, what we can do by changing city ordinances, and what we can do by requesting through the state changes to state law. So we've got a long way to go. It is an equity issue. People will say, you know, we pay taxes too, meaning people on private roads. But the fact of the matter is a private road is just that. It's private property. And so we are limited in what we as a city can do on private property. So we're trying to find a way to make things work in a more logical way. That was one of the top issues that would come up when I knocked on doors, made phone calls through the campaign. You know, maybe it wasn't number one for everybody. It was in their top three, without exception. And it was like the conditions of the roads, whether it was their public road or their private road. So instead of kicking the can down the road, no pun intended, for another 2 years, I want to get the answer so we can definitively find out what we can do and do it. It also comes down to funding, which is another issue.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. But first, tell me about the kiosk, because we talked about this quite a while ago, long before I think you even decided to run for mayor. I don't know what I've read that it's not a great, you know, parking is not a big revenue generator, but I do see people. I park out here almost every day when I go for a walk.
Right.
I do see people who come in, tourists, especially older people, and they're just baffled by this whole thing. Yeah. On top of that is the fact that so many of them weren't working due to pandemic related issues, I presume.
Yeah. I mean, this has been a, let's just say, not the best rollout for these. And I've been very clear. Though I inherited this mess, I take ownership of the mess, and you know we're going to clean up the mess. Mm-hmm. When they first got here, we used to have a couple of kiosks around the city, and the rest were parking meters.
Right.
And then I don't know what it was. I think it was just before pandemic that the decision was made to go with all kiosks. They came in. You recall they had plastic bags covering them because there was an issue with the first kiosk we had took cash. And that was it. When we had just a couple, I think, of the lot across from City Hall. Mm-hmm. We got the new ones. They took credit cards and the app, but they didn't take cash. And so that's when they got sealed up because, no, we needed the cash ones. So we had to wait till we got the cash ones. This is before I took office, folks, by the way. And so we got the correct ones. And that we had took all the plastic bags off, and we started to roll them out. And turns out they weren't. They weren't working very well. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of out-of-order kiosks. So I made the decision, enough is enough. We're not going to have this half. I don't want to say that.
$8 sign.
Yeah, right, we're not going to have that kind of system. Mm-hmm. We're not charging for – we're not going to enforce parking meter violations, kiosk violations, until we're at the point where I feel confident that they work in a reliable fashion. Reminder, folks – we are still enforcing all other parking violations. If you're in a crosswalk or you're parked going the wrong direction, et cetera, et cetera. So
or what I saw yesterday,
at the fire hydrant. So be mindful of that. So we're working on it. You know, we're working with the vendor to make sure we have the right software to interact with the app and to make sure that the system that does the pay, that takes in the money for the credit cards gets back to us. So we're getting there. But as I said, until I feel confident, we're not going to enforce it. And you're correct. It wasn't a real moneymaker. I think the true design was get a little revenue, but also keep turnover. And, you know, that's the key. But we've lost because we haven't been collecting for at least 2 years,
right.
You know, and we're going to get to the point in this administration that we're back on track and collecting. And, you know, we don't want to have people going to the window with tickets that they're complaining about because there was confusion out there. One thing we did do, though, is we found out we can put a message on the kiosk. So when you go press the button to start, it comes up right now saying, I forget the exact language.
Something to do with a waiver.
Yeah, the fees are waived for the time being.
Yeah.
So hopefully... But we are still getting money. People are still putting money in, which is, you know, please, folks, until further notice, don't do that.
When I talked with Senator Tarr, weekly. A lot of the things he brings up has to do with state revenue, money coming in from the federal government to the state that has to be dispersed. How does that work with respect from the state to the city, and what is Gloucester looking at in terms of financial help from the outside?
Well, as far as financial help from the outside, the big ones we have are from the federal government, the ARPA funding, which we can talk more about in a second, the infrastructure bill, which passed, I think, earlier this year. This is, what year are we in? 22. So I guess it was early on in Biden's administration. The Build Back Better thing seems like it's DOA. We're not going to see anything from that, most likely. But we have those two huge pools of money. The ARPA money is $23 million Gloucester has been awarded. We're going to be starting the process for that. Again, we'll get to that in a second. The Build Back Better money was still the state and the federal government, working on the guidelines of how that will work. Mm-hmm. But then we have the usual funding, you know, Chapter 90 for the roadways, the Chapter 70, which is for education. This year, the Chapter 70 money has finally been updated, so it's a little more reflective of the communities that are receiving it. So we had a big bump there. But, you know, we work very closely with mayors before me. I'm not saying it's just us, so we're not magical. But the administrations have always worked closely with our state rep and our legislator, mm-hmm. as well as our federal delegation, to make sure we're getting everything. I get emails regularly from Bruce and Ann Margaret's, Rep. Ferrante and Senator Tarr's staffs saying, had given us a heads up on grants. Same thing from Seth Moulton's office, and even Ed Markey and Elizabeth Warren. So they want to make sure that we're not missing out on things.
I think another thing is perpetual in a mayor's office is budget. Have you started working on that process yet?
Yes. See the two binders on my desk?
I see them.
The bottom one's the school budget. The top one is the beginnings of the city budget. So we're starting today to meet with the department heads to go over their budgets. We'll compile that. The school budget, let me take a step back, that's already been done on the school side. We, on the school committee, as people may or may not know, the mayor is a sitting voting member of the school committee. We passed the budget for public hearing, you know, so we didn't pass the budget, so per se, but we took a vote to put it out to public hearing. That budget will be reviewed at a public hearing, I think sometime in April. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact date. It's all on the school's website. That budget will be sent to the mayor, me, and we'll look at it as a whole, the city's budget, the school budget. So we're starting to do the review of the city departments, and then we'll produce a full budget that will go to the city council along with the school's budget. And once it's in the hands of the building and finance committee of the city council, they will hold their hearings, bring in the department heads to review the budget. They may make tweaks to it, but in the end, you know, there'll be a public hearing, mm-hmm. and hopefully people will attend. I mean, in the past, we've had issues like, leash laws, and City Hall would be jam-packed, but we'd be voting on a $120 million budget, and there'd be literally nobody in the audience but staff. So
I think you said last time crickets.
Crickets, yeah. But it'd be great if people, especially in the Zoom age, because most likely we won't be in person for that, mm-hmm. that budget hearing, people can chime in and let the city councilors know what their priorities are. And in the end, it'll come back to the mayor, and, you know, hopefully we can sign up on a budget. The good thing is we're in pretty good financial shape. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. I inherited the kiosk fiasco, but I also inherited a very good financial picture.
Speaking of Zoom meetings, as you come into office, as you sit here now, and talking with restaurant owners, business owners in Gloucester, what's the general mood in terms of recovery, if that's the right word?
Well, I mean, one thing that the discussion is going on now is about outdoor dining, so that should be beneficial to the restaurant owners. It's not without controversy, obviously, but we're trying to come up with a plan that will be workable and, the least disruptive to the retail mm-hmm. people. But it's been, it's strange that during the pandemic, businesses have done pretty well, you know. Also, they had a lot of support from the federal government in the beginning. So, but we stand by, ready to help in any way we can. And we still have the ARPA funds. I've mentioned three times. We'll talk about that. We probably should, so I don't forget to talk about it. So we have $23 million of ARPA funds. The previous administration didn't take any action with ARPA. And so on the one hand, it's like, oh, that's not great. But on the other hand, it works out for us, this administration, because we can start with a blank slate. What we're trying to do, which we will do, is put together some listening posts throughout the city. So we want to bring in someone who will serve as sort of like a chairperson to help with this, some city councilors, members of the Capital Improvement Advisory Board, the EDIC, and others to go around, see what the priorities are. And we'd like to do this in person. If we can do it hybrid with some Zoom aspect, that's great. Mm-hmm. But we really think we need to get out to all the wards and have a discussion and see where we are going to spend this money. This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. And I'd say beyond that, this is, you know, I doubt this is going to happen again for at least another century. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's hope so, yeah.
There's no need for it.
Right.
But then again, our kids and grandkids will be paying it back for the next century. But it was... this country absolutely needed it. You know, deficit spending, sure, but without it, this we would have had a real tough time.
Mm-hmm. I think I have two more topics briefly. The previous mayor, Mayor Safathia, was a demon, and I'm using that respectfully in terms of social media.
Yeah.
I mean, she just had stuff getting out there by phone, on the internet and so on, informing people. And what's your take on social media, whether it's you know, personal or through the city offices? How are you using it, or how will you use it?
So we made a conscious decision when I came in that we were not going to like get a mayor's page up and run it on day one, and the plan was, because trying to centralize on the city's multiple Facebook pages the message, because we have different departments run their own pages. So what we've pretty much been attempting to do and having pretty good luck is we start with the city's main Facebook page as the outgoing message, whether it's a snow ban, you know, trash is delayed, kiosk updates, whatever it is. And then we ask that the other departments share our message. So if we have to make a correction to our page, it's automatically filters down and corrected elsewhere. And I didn't want to confuse, dilute the city's page with mayor, I don't want to say fluff, but ribbon cuttings and that type of stuff. So I've been focusing that on my personal page, the stuff that's okay. Promoting, you know, stuff from this office is sort of separate from the business at hand on the city's page. Now that Pam's on board, one of her missions will be to set up a true mayor's page. But again, we are going to keep that separation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The business is going to stay on the city's page, which we can share to the mayor's page. But the stuff about me, you know, going to a Association of Mayors meeting yesterday, for instance, will be on the mayor's page, or me meeting with, you know, people downtown, or et cetera, et cetera.
That was my next question. Have you met with other mayors yet?
Yes, actually. So I've had, even before I took office, we had several Zoom meetings with a new mayor orientation. We'd have Kim Driscoll, for instance, was on there as one of the experienced mayors. And, you know, it was just Q&A, you know, how do you do this? What should we expect? Mm-hmm. And it was really a good thing during that transition. And we've had a few mayor's meetings over Zoom. Yesterday was the first in-person meeting I had down in Brockton. And it was great to see, you know, probably about a dozen or so that I had been communicating with electronically and through Zoom to meet them in person. And I met many, many more. And same thing, it was a lot of us new mayors were asking questions about ARPA funding, for instance, or other aspects of things that are going on statewide and things that happen in our local communities that are similar, private roads, for instance, you know, and it's really good to start to build those relationships. I mean, I first met Kim Driscoll when I was on the school committee 20 years ago, but, you know, we weren't really close because in our roles it was totally separate. But it was, she's been very helpful with me all along, and I'm looking forward to her doing bigger things in the coming year.
Well, we'll see how that pans out, for sure. Anything else you want to mention, Mr. Mayor, before? I've been here for quite a while, so I thank you for the time. But anything else you'd like to say?
Well, we are trying to live up to the campaign pledge, which is a more transparent, more efficient, more collaborative government. And I strongly believe that we are fulfilling that mantra. And I just want to make sure that people keep reaching out to us through mayor@gloucester-ma.gov with their questions, concerns, and we will, now that we're up to full capacity with our staff here, you know, we will be responding in a much more timely manner than we were able to do when it was just two of us. But we're here. We understand that we work for the residents, the taxpayers, and we want to make sure that this is a collaborative two-way street of communication.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Gloucester Mayor Greg Virga with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.
This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.